Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life after booze.
Hi, I'm Katie, and I've been alcohol-free for 1 year and 20 days.
Hi, I'm Kaylee, and I've been alcohol-free for 474 days. And we just celebrated 420 followers on Instagram today.
Whoop, whoop. We also just hit a new listening number. So 1,300 people have been listening in.
That's so awesome.
I know. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
We did a poll on our Instagram page and we got some feedback that when we say we're navigating life as dry millennials, I think what we're doing is signaling to people who aren't millennials that this isn't a podcast for them. And it turns out that's not true. We are speaking to people of all ages, it sounds like. More people are resonating with it than what we thought initially. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. When Katie and I first started this, you know, 13 episodes ago, we had no idea if just our friends and family were going to listen to it. So the fact that we have 420 followers on Instagram and, you know, obviously, like, it's just surprising how quickly it's happened. And we definitely want to keep getting feedback so that we can continue to improve.
Yeah, I think what it does is it gives more people access to the information and the stories and just like feeling like they're included in a space because it's not just about being 30, right?
Yeah, it's crazy how many like universal experiences there are. And, you know, people who are older, people who are a little younger than us. I freaking want Gen Z to be my friend. I like don't want to be chuggy. So
we're fucking chuggy. We have a fucking sober podcast. What? That's the chuggiest of the chug.
I just want to be cool. I hate that I'm old.
You're cool.
It's fine. It's fine. I am cool.
Something that I love about this is our friend Julie is listening and she's laughing because she's probably listening to this and she's thinking, you guys think you want to be cool now. You think you're old now. You know, like what the fuck? You know nothing about life. You're a speck.
I remember before I turned 30, I had friends who were, you know, my coworkers that were that age and they were like, it's so good. It's so good. Like, you're going to love it. And so far, so good, honestly.
Yeah, I definitely feel like the 30s get real, you know?
It's where it's at.
Yeah. Especially when you're doing it without alcohol. I feel like I sped up some of the process by being sober during this time. So that feels like the fucking right direction for me.
Yeah, I feel like I've aged. Like, my wisdom, my internal spiritual wisdom has increased tenfold since I stopped drinking. Oh. I just feel like much more introspective and like doing the work. And it's hard not to make it sound like I joined a cult, but you know,
we did.
I'm doing great. Yeah.
The cult is sobriety and we fucking joined it and I love it. And so I hear you there, Kaylee.
Yeah. So how are we feeling? How has this week been? It's been a while since we've gotten to catch up.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear about your Friday Junior first, Kaylee.
My Friday Junior? Okay. So my first week at my brand new job is almost over. So I got to meet some people that are going to be on my new team. And it's just weird because every other job I've had, I've just been thrown right into the middle of it. And this is, no, actually, you can take your time. And we're all, like, we're good. We're not understaffed. You can chill and just like get yourself familiar and poke around. And it's been weird because people have been leaving me alone all day. And I'm finding that I almost kind of love being stressed out, or like I live for the chaos of people like hitting me up all the time. It makes me stressed, but and I like don't eat and I have bad behaviors, but it gives me the energy to get stuff done. So I have to be a lot more self-motivated, but I'm also just super chill and grateful and loving it.
I was gonna make a comment about how you feel like the only time that you can find motivation, I'm using bunny ears, is like when you feel like you're in trouble and everything is weighing on your role. And
yes,
that's such a conditioning. And I can relate to that on so many levels. Like, I wait to the last fucking minute until it's down to the wire. And it's just exhausting. So I'm really excited for you to have support that looks different at this new endeavor.
Yeah, I have this like fear-based drive to get my shit done or else someone's going to be mad at me. It's that accountability too, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel good to always feel like you have to, you know, go at 110% or else everyone's going to hate you. Like, that's not fun either. So,
yep.
Yeah. How are you? How are you doing, Katie?
I'm good right now. I'm trying to get my camera at a place where you're not just staring directly at my boobs.
Yeah, boobs.
So I keep like moving my phone around, but it's good. We're good. We're chilling. Now you can see the ceiling. I'm like, I cannot hang up.
Oh my god, that is so good.
I like, would love to like make some TikToks and some reels of us recording, but at this point, friends, there's no fucking way that's gonna happen. I cannot figure this out for the life of me, but we are getting there. Okay, deep breath. Today was a good day. I worked out this morning and it felt so good. And I came home and I had coffee with my neighbor. Shout out to Heather. You're the best. However, I was like late to work because I just kept drinking the coffee. And I got into work and kind of walked into a crisis. Speaking of working under the wire, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You thrive in those environments too.
Yeah. It's a way that I've like learned to make myself useful in emergencies. So I'm needed.
Ah.
But anyways, yeah, our new driver, we just hired him. He's so sweet. He's so kind. I got a call on the radio. One of our like veteran drivers, I'll call him. He called and was like, hey, so-and-so just got hit in the eyeball with a branch.
How did that even happen? Like, what?
I feel like I should backtrack. So I run the day-to-day operations with my husband at a garbage and recycling company, which is not like a field I grew up in, right? Like it's new to me in the last couple of years doing the family business thing.
Yeah.
So one of our drivers was in the passenger seat and his window was rolled down 3 inches.
What the hell?
And they were driving down a tight driveway that had some brush like on the passenger side. And apparently some branches got stuck on the rearview mirror, but it happened really quickly. And Ty luckily was looking straight ahead and not looking out the window, but the branch snapped back and whipped him in the eye.
That's so scary.
Super scary. And he was so chill about it and kept apologizing. I'm like, dude, you literally have done nothing wrong. This is like a freak accident.
That's so something I do though. Like, I'm so sorry that my eye is like bleeding on your garbage truck. I'm sorry.
Well, and the crazy part is like your eyes don't bleed. They bleed internally.
Ew. I love that I know nothing about the human body.
So anyways, no, he like wasn't even gonna call the office except for he started to lose the vision in his eye.
Oh, that's so scary.
And it was like slowly. And anyways, we spent 3 hours at urgent care and then 2 hours at an ophthalmologist, and it was just me. I'm the person who does all of the things, which I like doing. Do I?
You're like this person's emergency contact though. I've never heard of a coworker like going with me to the hospital and like making sure that I was okay. I think that's really sweet.
Well, I think it's because he couldn't drive because he didn't have vision in one eye. And then
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no. And his poor guy.
And literally, dude, his wife lives across the country. He's here finding a job and getting settled so they can move here. He's alone. He's staying in an Airbnb.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I know. Bless him. His wife is calling, panicking. And yeah, we got to know each other, which is great. He's fine. He does have an eye bleed. So it's like a hematoma of the eye, but he's gaining his eyesight back. He'll be back to work next Monday. He's getting a 3-day weekend. It is, you know, on his first week here. Yeah. So it's just kind of weird, but I just honestly kind of killed it. Like, I just had a good day anyways, and that felt really good.
I feel like we've joked about this before, but I feel like everyone has different skills to bring to the table if we were in an apocalyptic situation. And I feel like I'd be like, okay, Katie's gonna figure out how to like hotwire some car and get us to safety. And she has these buff ass biceps. She could just throw me over her shoulder and run.
Hell yeah. I'm flexing right now, but no one can see. Yeah, I definitely feel like I'm physically a factor in those things. And then I'm just like always down to, you know, fuck shit up. So here we go. which was like a bad combo with a slight alcohol use disorder, you know?
Right. So what are we talking about this week? Speaking of alcohol use disorder.
Are we just talking about fucking eye bleeds?
horrible accidents that happen on the job.
Yeah. Anyways, we are talking about friendships this week.
We're talking about friendships, friends.
And I feel like it's so cute because no one else can see what's happening here, but Kaylee keeps saying friendships and she's like a fucking Care Bear. Like immediately she's just like lovely, she has hearts in her eyes, like she loves it, and I'm like like that's been the theme of sobriety and friends for me. It's just been like I'm just trying to spend all my time alone, I'm so bad.
I just always have like only child syndrome, and I just want everyone to like have a Mary-Kate and Ashley style sleepover where we braid each other's hair and paint each other's nails and do face masks and cuddle and talk about, you know, relationships. And
I'm going to make an observation. So Kaylee didn't have any like live-in sisters that were close to her in age.
Yeah. And I didn't live with my mom. So I have like,
yeah,
the mother wound, whatever it's called.
A fear of being
seen. It's a thing. It's a thing. Google it. Google the mother wound.
And also, thank you, Emily Griffin from Colorado, for calling my ass out about angel numbers. So for anyone that doesn't know, Emily just got married and I think her last name changed. So it's Emily Fields on Instagram. She is such a badass. She's a fucking baby nurse. And I went to elementary school with her.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we went to elementary school in South Haven, and she was actually my sister's friend. And Emily and I actually, I mean, we were definitely not like enemies by any means, but she dated a guy, and I think I had, this is like very, like middle school. Like, I had dated this guy very briefly.
Oh, I know, but that's like.
But it's still, it's kind of weird, and that there she was in the class below me. And
okay, so she's younger.
She's a little bit younger, but that whole class wound up dating the guys that were in the upper class, and I moved away for high school. But it's just weird. There's a lot of shit going on then and with that whole group of people, and it probably has a lot to do with our relationship with alcohol now. Actually, a lot of them are using drugs really young, drinking really young. So anyways, Emily and I reconnected when my sister got married, and it was really cool because we just immediately like kind of looked at each other and we were like, yeah, we're on the same page, like just with everything.
I love that.
Yeah, she's a wealth of knowledge and I really appreciate her and connecting with her in this like sober curious space again. It's been a delight.
Aww.
That was my aside. Yeah, so friendships, what do they mean to us? What did they mean to us? I kind of feel like I am going to ask Kaylee what everyone's dying to know.
What
your friendships were like when you were a drunk bitch.
Oh, okay. Well, wow. Weird. Really weird. Really, really interesting. I think it was so hard when we were younger because binge drinking was so normalized, especially in our early 20s or even like before that. That it's interesting to kind of look back now and be like, oh, I think that person was really struggling with something. And just you kind of get this whole other perspective on experiences that you've had. And so that's been interesting to reflect on. But I think in general, like, oh, my God, just so much crying, like so many emotional outbursts, whether it was some guy and my friend being upset and comforting them, or some guy, my fucking shitty ex usually, like, and me being upset, and or like friends getting mad at each other. I remember when we had a girls trip to Mexico and I cried like almost all of the nights we were there, and I was just so drunk all the time. So I think I put my friends in like not fun situations to be around me, but then at the same time it was just all kind of a fucking mess. So
yeah, I hear that. I was one of those friends, and it's funny that you say that about yourself because I felt that about myself, you know.
Yeah, I just felt like in general as a person, I am very emotional and I feel a lot of things and I feel them really hard, which is great. It means I get to feel like love and good, positive feelings. But when I get sad, I get like really sad. Mm-hmm. And that's also part of that like persistent depressive disorder I have. So I just thought I was being so dramatic. And I would, you know, you have that anxiety the next day where you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I like blew that way out of proportion, or I made that such a big deal. And a lot of the times, like, I would just end up being not super proud of the outbursts I had in public. So well, bless my friends who have stuck around through all of that.
I'll love you. And we were right there with you being the fucking same. So no judgment, girl. So give me a specific example.
Oh, wow. I think it's interesting too, Katie, that, you know, you mentioned chaos and kind of thriving on that. And it's funny because when we talk about ourselves, we talk about ourselves as being, you know, a shit show. But I was definitely one of the more responsible friends. When I would drink, I would get wasted every single time, hands down. But I was also like going to school, getting straight A's, getting my shit done. And so I had someone who wasn't even that good of a friend of mine. His name was Jeff. He was like friends of friends. I think he had a crush on some of my friends, like throughout our time together. We'd known each other since, you know, middle school. And he called me and asked if I could come pick him up. And I had to like come pick him up from this place that was like in the middle of fucking nowhere. I couldn't even tell you, in Eugene. It was like a 45 minute drive from my house. And then he wanted to get pita pit. So, and he's like, I'll buy you pita pit, you know, since you picked me up. And I was like, great, that's awesome. I fucking loved pita pit. I would eat it all the time.
It's so funny. I have to interrupt you because one of my stories I'm telling today also has to do with pita pit.
No way. Yeah. Okay. Well, one of the benefits of living in a college town is things on college campus are open super late. So there was a few places like pita pit that would be open until the bars closed at like 2 a.m. And the funny thing is, I remember being nervous about doing him this favor. It's just so weird what I used to do for people pleasing. Like, I barely fucking know this guy. He called me out of the blue. He wants me to do him this like insane favor. And I had had drinks earlier and was like about to go to sleep because I was like tired. And you know, when like your buzz kind of wears off.
Oh yeah.
I like crawl my ass out of bed. We go to Pita Pit. We get back in my car. I am driving him to his destination where he needs to be, whatever. And he throws up roast beef pita pit all in my car. Like,
stop it. Stop it. I'm going to throw up.
It was horrible. Like, I can still, it's visceral. Like, I can remember what that smelled like. And I had to drive all the way back home with it in my car. He was like fucked up. And it's really funny that he was at whatever hangout he was at. And he was like, I know who I'm going to call. I'm going to call this girl I went to middle school with. I'm going to see if she's going to come pick me up.
And you fucking did.
And I did. Yeah. I always wanted to help. I always wanted to be the person to step in. He was a nice guy, but he threw up all over my fucking car. And I got home and I had to hose it down. We were going like 50 on the highway and he couldn't get my window rolled down enough. So he got it like partially rolled down, but not all the way. So half of it was in my car. But then the entire side of my car outside of it was sprayed as well. So sometimes if your friends are drunk, it's okay to not do everything that they want you to do. I think that would be my lesson from that story. So you have a pita pit situation going on as well.
So I have so many stories about this. I had one of my very best friends in the whole world was my roommate in college. Ish. I wasn't in college, but I was at the age where I should have been in college. So we are going to just say that. So we lived together on campus and we would go out all the time. Well, I fucking love corn.
What?
Like the food. Kaylee's starting to get distracted. She looks away and then I'm like, I fucking love corn. No, I do.
Well, does pita pit even have a thing with corn in it?
So listen.
Okay, good. No, continue. Sorry. Okay,
so I'll backtrack again. I'm not giving you guys enough context. Our listeners, like, you need to call me out. You need to tell me, like, bitch, slow down.
What do you mean you fucking love corn? What's going on, bitch?
Give me the deets. So we would go out, we would go dancing, and I would get as absolutely as hammered as I possibly could. I'd like chase that good drunk while I was dancing and then just keep taking shots after that. And I'm really sorry if that triggers anyone. Like, I know it can be sensitive, especially if it's not your story, but I would just continue to drink and drink and drink until last call. I was always the friend. It was running up last call and getting shots. Not for anyone else, for my fucking self. I never bother people alcohol, ever.
Yeah, you talked about like being like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. And then you're like, barkeep, make me a double.
Yeah, it was my roommate's boyfriend. It was her partner at the time who was the bartender where we would go out.
I forgot.
Yeah. And so I would take extra shots. And anyways, we would literally stay after hours. Then on the way home, we would always drive, which is a problem. We would drive down there, park, and then we would walk up because it wasn't far most of the time. But we would always stop at Pita Pit. And this is back when I ate meat. So I would get a chicken Caesar.
That's what I get.
And then I would get it with no vegetables because fuck lettuce when you're drunk. I would add corn. And I would dip it in ketchup while Michelle and I were taking bong rips in our bathroom in our apartment.
That sounds so good. I also love that you're like, I had a roommate, and then it's like, it's Michelle. It's Michelle. It's been Michelle the whole time.
Everyone, it's Michelle. She is literally an angel on this fucking earth. Like, if you don't know her, you're making a mistake. But, you know, I just remember this one night, Michelle is crying, like mascara all down her face. I'm sobbing. I don't even know what happened.
Of course. That's the thing is like, it was the worst night ever, but I don't really know how we got there. Like, why?
Yeah. So crazy. And we're taking bong rips on the bathroom floor, but she's throwing up. And I'm just like, if we just keep smoking enough weed, this will stop.
No, being crossfaded is the worst.
And then we would eat our pitas, and then I would have to get up in the morning and go to work at the coffee shop, and she would have to go to work at Cafe M, and we would take a bong rip in the car. We had a car bong.
I was just thinking about this randomly. I don't know if this is like a Oregon colloquialism, but did you used to say it's cashed? And the weed was done. Like, oh, it's cashed. Oh, sorry, it's cashed.
I feel like that's less an Oregonian
colonialism.
colloquialism. And more of a like weed culture term.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you'd smoke a bong rip, tell it was cashed, and then you'd go to work and sling some coffee.
And then we would just die all day at work. Like, I would feel like my soul was just fucking breaking in half and coming out of every pore, and I would wonder what I did. And then if anyone, and I've said this before, if any of you fuckers tell me what I did when I was drunk, you're done. I'm done with you.
No, we'll talk about you semi-anonymously on our podcast that's streaming worldwide, but fucking don't add us.
Oh, and we're gonna talk about you in our Discord channel via our Patreon.
Yeah, thanks for the fucking roast beef memories, Jeff.
I can't. Okay, anyways, so that's one Pita Pit story. I also wanted to bring up something that I feel a lot of shame around, but we're sharing, right? This is a no judgment.
This is a safe space.
No judgment zone. I wasn't always a good friend. I really liked male attention.
Yes.
And I would basically drop any of my friends, regardless of how good of friends they were, to get it. And it didn't matter from who.
Yeah.
And I struggled with that for a really long time. And I would just use alcohol as a way to wild out and like have an excuse for the actions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't a good friend, and then I had this shame, and then I would hide, and then I would lie, and it was just like this cycle that I would fucking get in. And now that I don't drink, I realize like what the root of that is, and now I'm able to work on that.
What do you think the root of that was? Like, what have you discovered?
Well, I have daddy issues.
You have daddy issues and I have the mother wound. So together we're just totally fucked.
Well, and just appeasement in general is something, a word that comes up a lot for me in my shadow work that I've been doing. I am always seeking attention And like we talked about in the last episode, I was, that energy comes off and then you wind up with people who are on that low vibration level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or just take advantage of the fact that you don't, you know, have boundaries and you're willing to do whatever for folks.
Yeah, my attachment style was really unhealthy, and it was because I always wanted, you know, kudos from my parents, and they were doing the best with the tools that they have. Again, this is not a podcast where I fucking bash my parents. I didn't know how to recognize that I needed help with all of that. So removing alcohol has definitely helped all of my relationships. But yeah, I wasn't always a good friend, and I, you know, have been known to, when I was drinking, I like to tell other people's secrets.
Ooh, see, I love that. And I'm definitely probably guilty of doing that as well. I just like to know what's going on, and people's lives and situations are very interesting to me. Also, it makes me feel like I'm in the inner circle and I'm loved and accepted. Yeah. When people feel like they can trust me, and I will not go around and tell that person that they said that, but it makes me feel like popular and liked, and it's fucked up, but I relate to that.
Yeah. And so when you add alcohol into the mix, like, there was a lot of me repeating other people's shit to other people that I shouldn't have, and it kind of put me in the center of some things that I didn't belong in. And, you know, sense of self and self-worth have a lot to do with that. But anyways, so I wasn't always the best friend. I do remember a specific time. I was 19, and one of my good friends stayed the night at an apartment where I was staying with a guy. And
it was just you three? It was like you, your friend, and...
There was probably some other friends sleeping on the floor there. I think I was even 18. I don't even think I was 19 yet. I think I just graduated from high school. And one of my good friends had come down from where she was going to college. And she'd come down to visit. And so I was like, oh, we're going to do this. Which is like, this was a very tumultuous relationship that I was in. He was much older. He had multiple children. He had his ex's name tattooed on his throat. He was my manager at my job.
Complicated.
And just so not something that I identify with now, right? Something it's like very not cool, and affected me and followed me around for a long time, just the feeling. And so anyways, the friend that I invited down to stay with us is a badass. She was my friend in high school. She influenced like so much of my music and my fashion taste and like just so much about me. She was such a good influence, and she fucking loved my parents, and my mom loved her, and got good grades. Anyways, she's just a badass, and now she's a fucking account strategist at Google.
That's so cool. So what was her, had it been a while since she's seen you, was she surprised to kind of show up to this guy's apartment and see his neck tat and be like, oh, Katie, is this where we're staying tonight?
Yeah, and like everyone was smoking cigarettes inside of the apartment.
That was a thing. That was definitely a thing.
This was 2009, so...
Yeah, and we were just like, fuck that deposit. We don't give a shit.
Yeah, and this guy was like 34 probably.
Yeah.
I was 18. Anyways, not good, like I said. But she came over and she was like, this is fucking weird, but okay. It was actually the night I graduated from high school, now that I'm remembering correctly. She came down for graduation.
Okay.
And so we go to this house and we party, and we actually have fun. Like, we always have fun. But then we all went to bed. Well, the next day I woke up sick. I barely even remember this, but her and I were talking, and she was like, I really need to talk to you about something. And I'm like, what? And she was like, I'm really upset. Like, I heard you and said guy, neck tat, having sex last night, and I feel really uncomfortable.
Oh, shit.
And it was so valid, and I do not even remember how I responded.
That's the worst, when you're like, what did I say? Like, I wish I could at least know that I said something to make her feel better in that moment.
Yeah, well, I fucking learned my lesson, because that guy did a number on me in my, you know, when I was a teenager, and I learned a lot for sure. But yeah, so I kind of, that was a trending theme in my early 20s. But then, you know, after a while, I didn't quit drinking until I was 30. But so I'd calmed down quite a bit by the time I stopped drinking. So later in my 20s, my relationship with alcohol and friends was decent. My I'm a co-parent. I'm a stepmom. And I have a really close relationship with my daughter Iris's biological mom. We have shared custody between the two houses. And we drink too much together a couple times. And I definitely feel like I crossed some boundaries there with her. So that's something that kind of came up more in my later 20s. But yeah, you know, there's a lot more there for me than what I realized.
Yeah, it is crazy when you start talking about it and just in like putting friends in shitty situations. I didn't really plan on like going here and talking about it. So maybe, you know, trigger warning or whatever. I, as part of like having depression at an early age and, you know, influences on the internet and TV, whatever, I self-harmed from age 13 to 17. And then in 2015, I had a relapse when I was 25. And it was pretty scary. And it was really scary for my roommate who, you know, was there and witnessed it and was calling our other friends and being like, what do I do? And I think just putting someone in a position like that, I wish I could say like, and I never drank again. And like, I'm super healthy and happy and want to advocate for mental health. And that's a huge reason why I decided not to drink anymore. But it took me a really long time, even after that, to kind of put the pieces together and realize that that wasn't something that I wanted for myself or for my life. But a lot of my drinking put myself in dangerous scenarios. And then other people had to, you know, be traumatized by that or witness that or have to take care of me because I was drinking from a place of trying to replace self-harm. And then it got to a point where like, I don't know, it just I think mental illness and depression and alcohol really just don't go well with each other.
Oh, totally. Well, and then just acknowledging alcohol use disorder on a spectrum, right? And how that spectrum also suggests that we're not always in the same type of alcohol relationship. So it changes, it gets better, it gets worse, and it, you know, it fluctuates, which is why I think it's so easy for us to think, oh, I don't have a problem. See, I had some good nights with my friends. I wasn't a bad friend, you know, and then you have that fall off where you betray someone or hurt yourself.
Yeah. And forgiveness is such an interesting thing to try and figure out now. I know that like in AA, they do the like call everyone you've ever wronged and apologize to them or whatever. And I don't want to do it. And I don't have to.
No, you don't have to.
Yeah. But there are like people who I would love to have conversations with. There's so much I don't remember about being in high school, being in middle school and like who I was. And even like through college, like it honestly all feels like a blur, probably from the drinking, but also just because, you know, each year passes and I'm further and further from that age that I was. So, yeah, I guess friendships and healing and realizing that you may have not been the best friend and then trying to fix that now, you know, do what you can now. And I've been really trying to put a lot of efforts into my friendships lately and just continue to be vulnerable with the people around me and try and make sure that I'm listening and I'm there for them too. So
I love that. Yeah, I dabbled in the idea of asking for forgiveness. I did a little bit of research about what that means in AA. And you're not asking for forgiveness for the other person to forgive you. You're doing it for your own forgiveness, right? Like, it's more so a way that you can let go of it yourself by righting your wrongs and like having that intention. You know, my dad was telling me, because he's been in AA for so long, for a decade and probably more than that, that with some people, if you don't feel like it's going to be helpful to your relationship or to their lives, you don't have to give them your letter. That you can just write it. And I didn't really, I don't know, I've not done that research. I don't know if that's legit or not. That's what he told me. So we'll take it for what it is. But I have one friend in particular that I wanted to apologize to. She was really heavy on my mind and on my heart. And it's crazy because I was telling a mutual friend, like, oh, this is one person that I feel like I really did dirty, right? Like when I was drinking. And it's hard sometimes to sift through and think, do I want her forgiveness because I feel like I wronged her? Or do I need approval from her?
That you're a good
person.
Person and you're not a shitty person.
So I went back and forth with that. Mm-hmm. And I decided, okay, it's not going to help anything. I'm not going to apologize. They probably already know how hard that time was in my life and for everyone else too that was involved. Also, no one died. Like, this is not as serious as it's coming across. However, I saw her like literally 3 weeks after I had this conversation with a friend.
Did you run into each other at the grocery store or where did you see her at?
I ran into her at her place of business where she owns a tattoo shop in town.
Oh, cool, cool, cool.
And she saw me and I saw her and she was like, Katie. And I was like, ah. And she ran over and like gave me the biggest hug. And it was like, yeah, this energy exchange that just like lifted this weight. Like, I really think that we understand each other. And I know that we're both kind of in the same path, or like not the same path right now, but like having the same realizations, doing the same work and like really digging in. I think like a lot of us, you know, that are hitting our 30s, mid 30s are doing. And yeah, it was just like everything aligned and I just forgave myself.
I love that.
It was really special. So I guess that's like a transformation I'm seeing in a lot of my friendships and sobriety. However, by the time I stopped drinking, I only had a few friends anyways, right? Like my circle was pretty small.
Do you feel like that's just the result of like settling down with your husband and your daughter? And
100%. And yeah. I have like a built-in friend now, especially like Iris is 12 and then her mom and I are the same age and we have a lot of the same, not even interests. We just get along really well. She's like my Cancer sister. I'm a Scorpio and we're just so compatible and I fucking love her. And so that friendship kind of took up a lot of my time. A, because it was easy.
Yeah.
Like she's the shit. B, we're parenting a child together. So we have a lot of contact with one another. And then C, like, I don't have a lot of free time anyways. And so then also I was going to the gym so much. A lot of my relationships formed in the gym. And at that time I wasn't drinking as heavily. However, COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
And when COVID happened, my drinking really ramped up. And that was a solo thing. That was more of an isolated relationship with alcohol. And so that's kind of how that like flow has gone throughout my 20s, like high school, early 20s, chilled out in my mid 20s, ramped up again towards the end there.
I remember the first sober person that I met, and it was in the dark days of drinking. I worked at an event planning company. There was free wine all the time. And now looking back, I feel so bad for her because I remember people just being like, what? Like, you don't, like, it was just such a non-supportive environment. And even I asked her, like, so when you go camping, like, camping for me is usually just so revolved around drinking around the campfire. And like, what do you do? Like, do you get bored? And she was like, I go on hikes, I drive around, I swim in the lakes, I read my book in my hammock. Like, you'd be surprised, like, how the day gets filled when you're not drinking. And she was really cool for letting me like ask her those questions. And she's a fucking badass. She like drove her Subaru cross country, camped solo. She would like be in a camping spot and then pack up her shit in her Subaru and like come to work in the morning. She's absolutely amazing. But I definitely didn't have any friends besides her who didn't drink. And then now my relationship with my friends who do drink. And I'm curious about that, Katie, like how many people you feel like are in your life that are sober curious versus not. Are you still friends with a lot of the people that, you know, you used to drink with, or no, not really?
There's so many answers, Kaylee. Like,
well, I asked you like five questions. I'm so sorry.
No, I love that you asked those questions. And I it's not something I really thought about until today. Like, by the way, we did not prepare our outline for this episode. We just felt like we had so much to share that we're just kind of going with the flow. So my husband doesn't drink.
Yeah.
First of all. So Steve's been sober curious for quite a while. We kind of talked about that in previous episodes. Our relationship was a little tumultuous in our early 20s. I was 22. He was 23. He quit drinking like 2.5 years into our relationship, mostly because he lost weight and we just got along better. And he wasn't he wasn't the catalyst. You know what I mean? get what I'm putting down there.
Yeah.
And so because of that, really leaned into some friends that did drink when I was going out and I was drinking, because I wasn't drinking at home ever. I never had alcohol here until the last year of drinking.
Yes, I feel that too when it felt like a special occasion.
Yes.
Or, you know, it's like, let's fucking get
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And then I would get like 5 bottles of red. Oops. I dropped it.
Technical difficulties. Phone on the ground. We're good.
I would like, you know, buy so much fucking red wine and come over, and then we would have like a, you know, a girls' night, but we would get fucking sloshed, and then I would be miserable the next day and I would drive home drunk and blah, blah, blah. So anyways, okay, you ask me questions. Do I have friends that are sober? Yes. Most of my friends I currently spend time with are either sober, sober curious, or do not drink around me, because drinking is not the center of what they are doing anymore.
Yeah.
So I recently had a situation where I was around people drinking red wine. The same people that I fucking know and love and drank red wine with 10 years ago. And it made me feel prickly.
Yeah.
Not a reflection of them at all, just because I'm not used to it. I simply just have not been in the center of a room, not drinking with other people drinking out of red wine glasses in the last year of my sobriety.
I'm like jealous of how much you've been able to avoid it. How did you feel after that? Like, did you go home and journal about that? Or did you feel like you kind of learned some new boundaries that you want to set? Or what did that look like in the aftermath, the shady aftermath?
Aftermath.
Right? Okay. I don't know. I hate myself. It's fine.
It's fine. I didn't know how I felt. I just felt really tight in my chest, like really tense in my chest. And,
yes. Yeah.
And I didn't necessarily crave drinking. I craved not wanting to be in that space.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with people that were there. It's just that, like, I've been so intentional about not being around alcohol because I fucking think it's the devil. I don't want... People can do whatever they want, right? Like, my friends can do anything they want. They're amazing.
It's hard. It's hard to, like... It's a go ahead. It's
so... For me, because my partner doesn't drink, because I don't have friends that I spend day-to-day time with that drink, it is an adjustment for me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because I'm never being challenged with alcohol in my circle or in my space, I haven't had to deal with it.
Yeah. I think this really just emphasizes the fact that it's so important to find your community, because, you know, besides you, Katie, and I do have some friends who are now like evaluating their relationships with alcohol and, you know, are willing to have the conversations and are asking me thoughtful questions and are so respectful. And I've had people, you know, be like, hey, does it bother you that we're drinking around you? But I'm going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that it doesn't. My partner drinks and, you know, has been going out with friends lately, and I've been staying at home. And sometimes that feels lonely, even though, like, I don't want to fucking be there, you know, yeah. Like, I don't want to go do that.
Yeah.
If it was bowling or something that, I don't know, was at least like alcohol adjacent, like people could or couldn't do it. I just can't go sit at a bar and be there until 2 a.m. I just can't hang anymore. And acknowledging that and accepting that is a bummer, but it's also like, I don't want to lose these friends and never hang out with these people just because they happen to drink. Yeah. But there's definitely certain times that are harder than others, and I don't necessarily know how I'm going to react depending on the situation. I found that having people over at my house makes me feel safe and makes me feel like pretty easy to just do whatever. But then, you know, when people start getting they're drinking and they're getting loud, and I can't think of like a specific time this has happened. It's just my fears, but you know, I have neighbors, and people start to get annoying. Even the people that you love get annoying when they're fucking drunk. And so it's just hard to not want to be, to feel like you don't want to be around your friends. Not always. And I also don't think I'm ready to have a boundary of like, if you guys are drinking, then I'm not going to come over, because that's not really what I want either. It's just, I think I need to
also have friends that are not drinking.
Yes. Yeah. And to be, thankfully, the friends that I do have that do still drink, I'm comfortable enough with them to be like, hey, like, if I'm not feeling it, please don't take it personally, but like, I will bail. But then I'm afraid that they won't, you know, I'll get FOMO. They won't invite me to shit. So it's very complicated. There's definitely a lot.
I fucking love this because I was just going to say you get FOMO and you like still want to be invited, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, do not fucking invite me.
Because you'll feel the pressure to show up and you don't want to.
No, do not invite me unless we are cooking together, unless we are working out together.
Yeah.
Unless we have an intentional time scheduled together. I do not do group hangouts. I don't like them. I spent so much time in my early 20s always needing to be around groups of people that now I feel like I'm like trying to steal that time back. Like, I just feel like there's not enough time for me to exist.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm sure like I remember laughing a lot and having good times around groups of people, but I couldn't fucking tell you what we talked about. And as part of working on those relationships and really trying to be a better friend, I like one-on-one so much better. And I think that's a great idea too, Katie, of being like, yeah, we can hang out if you want to go on a walk or if you want to go on a hike or if you want to come to this workout class with me and then get coffee afterwards, or if you just want to go to the park and have a fucking picnic. I'm all about that, especially in this, obviously only in the summer, but
yeah. I recently saw a girl on Instagram because I manage a salon in town, the Collective Beauty and Wellness. I manage their social media, and I saw this girl who I kept like resharing her before and afters and things like that. She's got a really dope Instagram page. I think it's private, but she is like a slow fashion, like she models how to style slow fashion clothing and like how she's the shit. Anyways, I kind of realized we were connected, and I was at Orange Theory and I was done and I looked over and I'm like, okay, that's that girl from Instagram. She has no fucking clue who I am. I learned when I was really young to always acknowledge people that you think that you recognize, because if you do not, you could be missing out on the opportunity of your lifetime. And I've always, always said hello to people that I think I recognize.
I think that people probably think I'm totally creepy, especially like, I'm so obsessed with a lot of the people at Megaburn. And so I'll just be like, hey, you probably recognize me staring at you. It's because I really like your sweater and I was trying to see where it was from. Like, oh, it's okay, cool.
Yes, I think it's so important. I think that you can really like strike up good friendships. So anyways, I was like walked up to her and I was like, hey, I'm Katie. I manage the Collective social media page and I think Chelsea does your hair. And she was like, don't you? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, that's awesome. Chelsea told me you're sober. I've been sober for 6 months. It's like new to me. I'm a mom and I'm, you know, I'm pretty sure she has her PhD. Like, she's fucking brilliant. And she was like, do you want to get coffee?
Were you like, fuck yes. What are you doing right now? Let's go.
Yeah, I was like, yes. And she's like, okay, check this out. She's like, I'm available Saturday, January 29th.
I fucking love friends like that. I have a friend who's a producer and she makes my heart so happy because I can't just do like, oh, I'll hit you up. Like, I won't hit you up. You need to tell me that like, this is where my ass needs to be and this is what time it needs to be there.
100. I totally agree with you. So I was like, oh, wow, so far in advance. She's like, yeah, that's just how life is. Sometimes gotta plan ahead. And I was like, that fucking energy is everything.
So 29th, end of the month. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, we were both there on New Year's Day. It felt really good. And so we signed up for the same Orange Theory class and then we're going to go grab coffee afterward.
I love that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not really sure what will come in the friend department this year. However, I've been growing much closer with my little sister.
Yeah.
And she had a baby and she is due with baby 2 in June. I have been doing some of that meditation work, Kaylee, that we've talked about. And what I see in 5 years is my sister in my life a lot. And so I'm really excited to kind of nurture that friendship in sobriety and just reconnect with her as like a person and not as my sister.
That's really interesting. The duality of that. And I feel like the great thing about siblings, I wouldn't know because I don't have any, but
oh, I'm your sister.
I know, I do. And the cool thing is I have friends who have been with me for a really long time. So when I say a person's name or when I reference something, they have years and years and years of context. And so it really does feel like a sisterhood and a coven, and I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah. So what are you like looking forward to as we go into it, like a fresh year with friendship? What does that mean to you?
Well, something that I related to when you were talking, Katie, is saying no to shit that doesn't feel good, that makes you feel tingly, that makes you feel prickly, that's like, I kind of feel like I need to get out of here, and saying yes to things that I am really excited about. And so I just really want to make those plans and also just allow myself to feel okay with saying no to things that don't feel good. And I might not know whether or not something's going to make me feel good. And it's okay for me to say, like, I love you guys. If this doesn't end up working tonight or I don't stay very long, let's plan a coffee date or something like that in the future. But I'm just not a nighttime person. That's
same. And my nighttime ritual and routine is sacred.
Yeah. And so another thing, though, that I am really looking forward to is I feel like we've made a lot of new sober friends. Like, everyone who's joined the Dry Hard podcast has been so awesome and just so vulnerable and nice and sending tips and tricks. And even though they live all over the place, I feel like it is the bright, shiny spot in social media where you can kind of hype people up, even if you don't know them, and you can connect with them and be like, oh, we have this similar interest. Cool. I got you. Have you heard about this? And that's really exciting for me. So I'm excited to make more sober friends on the internet, maybe hopefully in real life. I want to do something where we have all of these groups at work for different things. And there's all of these different Slack channels for hobbies that people have. So there's, you know, people who are really into music, blah, blah, blah. And I want to reach out to someone, even though I'm new and maybe it's not my place, but I want to reach out and just be like, hey, people who don't drink sometimes in, you know, work environments and agency life can feel a little isolated. And so it'd be cool if I could find out if there are other sober, curious people at work and reach out to them and meet new people that way.
I love that. I think that would be so, I mean, Kaylee, first of all, you're so fucking good at that. I think that's a great idea. And if you want any practice before you do that, because I know, like you said, it could be scary, we should do a Portland sober meetup. We should plan it through Dry Hard.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I would love that whenever things get a little bit
more chill.
Yeah.
More chill. Yeah, for sure.
I wanted to kind of leave folks with, if you are listening to this podcast because you are a supporter of someone who is sober curious, or you may not be ready to take that leap right now, but you know people who are in the process of doing that, what you can do instead and how you can be a supportive friend, because I think it's easy for us to talk about what's annoying, but I feel like we haven't really said like what would be good, like what we would need.
No, I love this. I'm going to ask you, Kaylee, if I was a friend that was drinking, what could I do to connect with you and to really like dive deeper into our friendship, like where you're at in your sobriety?
Yeah, I had a friend recently who, for celebrating me getting my new job, she handed me a bottle of wine, and I looked like I paused for a second and like I didn't know what to say. And she was like, it's a non-alcoholic rosé. And I was like, oh my fucking God, bitch. Like,
you
get me? Like, this is fucking perfect. I'm going to put this in the fridge. I'm going to bring this with me to my work holiday party so that I have something to drink there. Like, you are fucking solid. And I just thought it was so sweet and thoughtful for someone to look for something, you know, for me to be like, yeah, people celebrate with champagne, so I'm going to get her an NA version of that. And I thought that that was really sweet. Yeah, you can always bribe me with having NA beverages. I always bring my own. I don't expect people to do that or to accommodate.
But when they do, it really is taking that extra step, I feel like, to say, like, I support this decision that you're making. And, like, I made this a space for people who are drinking and people who are not drinking.
Yeah, I feel like it's like I see you. And yeah. One of the things that I struggle with, partially because I always need acceptance and praise and reassurance because I'm damaged. But
we love it.
Because no one else is going through this with me except for you, Katie, which is thank fucking God. It's been amazing. I feel like no one is really recognizing how hard it is for me, and I feel isolated and I feel alone. And so those little things like, oh, I picked you up a CBD soda is like, oh, thank you. Like, because yes, my life is 100% so much fucking better since I quit drinking. I have no desire to start drinking again, but it's still hard for me and I feel lonely and I feel like I'm, you know, I get that FOMO. And so, yeah, and offer to do shit that doesn't, and don't invite your newly sober friend to go out to a bar. Like,
yeah,
that's inconsiderate if I'm going to be sassy about it.
Right. I think that that's a valid point. And it's like weird because we have a sober friend that's so totally comfortable being at bars.
Yeah, that's true. But
it's a spectrum, like comfortability level. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess I'm different too, where if it's a place to eat that happens to serve alcohol and it's like a cute cocktail restaurant with good food, like I don't fucking care. But if you take me to a dive bar where there's no windows and there's like piss all over the bathroom floor,
then and only straight people.
Yeah, I will not be stoked about that. So I think if you are cool with going on a hike, going to go get coffee, go get brunch, you know, and you can get a mimosa or, you know, in that situation, I would maybe ask, what do you think, Katie? Like, ask like, hey, is it okay if I order a drink with brunch? I also feel bad when people ask me that because I'm like, oh my God, I don't care. I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable.
So I am not the best person to ask about this because most people that I've done things with are conscious drinkers. I go get brunch with one of my friends and she has never ordered alcohol when we get brunch. It's something I really admire about her because I was always like, bottomless mimosas, fuck me up, you know?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, she's never really done that. And so that wasn't out of character. And then I have another friend who, you know, she will get a drink when we go out, but you know, she's kind of always interested, like, oh my gosh, what mocktail did you get? And tell me about, like, your sobriety experience and, like, wants to know about what I'm going through. And I really think that, like, you know, ordering the cocktail, ordering a beer is one thing. And I am openly, like, I want to go somewhere with a non-alcoholic beer. I love beer. And so I feel like if I'm doing that, then I'm signaling that it's totally fine and, you know, okay for them to order their drink as well, but no more than one. That's when it starts to get hairy for me, when I've gone out with friends who A, don't acknowledge my sobriety, B, drink multiple beverages that are alcoholic, C, sit on their phone the whole time.
That is hard. I'm really trying to be better about that, like putting my phone away and connecting with people.
It's hard. It's hard when you're with people for long periods of time too, right? Like, so when we went on our mini vacay, like, of course we're going to surf. You know, we've been together nonstop for 72 hours, you know? So it's like, there are obviously situations, but, and I think too, like, I don't know if it's just because I'm a big personality and I've been pretty vocal about my sobriety. I don't really run into it a lot where people are challenging that or my friends are wanting to drink when I'm with them. However, Kaylee, I have a big first coming
up. What's going on?
So check this out. Tomorrow night I leave for Bend.
Okay.
For my friend Cammie's birthday party.
Love Cammie.
She's the best. And Kaylee, my other friend Kaylee.
Yeah.
So I love her also. They both drink and they have explicitly stated that they will be partying this weekend. And I'm going.
I love that they gave you, you know, this is the vibe.
Oh, yeah. There's no smoke and mirrors. Yeah, this is, we're like dressing up at a certain color. And Cammy's going to wear all black. And we're all wearing a different color.
I love that.
And she got this beautiful house with a hot tub and all this stuff. So the last people that I drank and did drugs with. Party drugs with. Okay, I'm just going to say that I'm not like, wasn't doing meth.
Yeah.
Or heroin. Like I was, and no judgment for people who were, but I don't want to like allude to a, you know, for anyone listening to think that I had an active drug problem. I actually only did drugs when I was drinking. So they were the last.
Yeah, I never was sober and was like, let's rail some fucking.
No, yeah. And you and know, that is some people's vice, right? Just like alcohol is mine. And so, yeah, that was the last. Those are the last people that I drank and did drugs with.
Okay, but they were still like, I see you. So just so you know, we want you to be there. We love you. We're still going to get turnt because that's the vibe, which I live for. But this is your first time. Like, Katie has not gone out to a bar. She's not gone to a sporting event. She's just not been put in those situations. And I've been to Atlanta with everyone drinking except for me.
It's my first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went to Vegas when I first got sober, but
that's the worst fucking place to go, dude.
I know. I went, though, and I was with my mom and my sister. And, like, so no one was getting wasted. No one got drunk. So, you know, it was a different vibe. And I've gone to a duck game, but I was with my dad, who's sober. So, like, I've kind of have these sober seeds in my life everywhere. Like, one of my really close friends, I work for her salon doing the social media that we mentioned. She's been sober curious, like, a month off drinking, month on drinking for a year. And then this year, she actually quit drinking in September. So, like, all the people that have been close to me aren't drinking. And so I'm going and I'm really excited. And I told them, I was like, I'll be your DD on Saturday night. So I'm, like, kind of putting myself out there. These people are important to me and I love them and I really want Cammy to have a great weekend. But I did schedule myself an Orange Theory class in Bend.
Oh, hell yeah. That's going to be so bougie. I love that for you.
Yeah. So I'm doing that at 7:15 on Sunday morning.
That's awesome. Are you taking your own car or are you all carpooling together? Because I feel like having your own ride and being able to like do group things, but also dip out and do your own things, kind of like what we did in Palm Springs. Rings would be choice.
Yeah, so I'm actually driving us and then Cammy is meeting us in Bend. She's driving down from Washington. So I'll be driving a couple people and she'll have her car. But yeah, I'm going to let everyone die from their hangover on Sunday morning. I love you all. If any of you are listening to this, I'm no judgment.
Yes. No, sleep in. Have a great like, yeah, a little lie-in, as the British people say.
Oh my God. And I'm going to go to Orange Theory. Then I'm going to come home and I'm going to get in the hot tub and then I'm going to make breakfast before checkout. So I'm going to do like all these things. And yeah, I'm just kind of like building safeguards in there. I've already reached out to a couple people.
Smart.
To say like, hey, I'm going to this place. There's going to be people drinking. So like, if I need a phone call, will you be able to answer? You know what I mean? Like, can I have you on my, my text hotline, if you will?
Yeah. Hotline bling.
I was going to sing it, but I just feel like I should, you know, not put our listeners through that currently.
That's fair.
Yeah, so I'm feeling a little nervous, but it's good. It's all good. I, like, don't want to drink at all, ever.
Yeah, again. I love, though, like, the idea of going to a workout class and then showering off and getting in the hot tub, fucking soaking those muscles and, like, read a book in the hot tub, like, put a podcast on while everyone's still sleeping and, like, enjoy your morning. That sounds awesome to have things that you're like, cool, okay, well, this part might be a little hard, but then I have this part to look forward to.
Exactly. Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. I'm sure it's gonna be fucking great. Kind of like my little sisters, I feel like they're all younger than me, and so I kind of play that role anyways a little bit, you know.
You're gonna be the DD and you're gonna make sure everyone has their Pedialyte and their Gatorade.
Yeah. And food, like, I'm gonna make sure we cook. I'm gonna get like shitty frozen pizzas and put them in the oven when everyone gets back from the bar, make sure everyone eats, and you know. Yeah, so that's kind of my plan this weekend.
Awesome. It's interesting just talking about friendships and realizing that a lot of our friends listen to the podcast. And I think I'm having a little bit of a like vulnerability hangover. It's tricky. I love my friends who still drink, but I'm also really feeling like having other people in my life that don't drink. I went to dinner recently with a few people. I say recently, it was like before Omicron was even a thing. And they told me that they didn't drink. And I was just like, oh, cool. Like, I don't know. It just feels good to have your people. And so I think something that I'm thinking about is just how can I communicate my needs with the people who I still insanely love and care for and want to hang out with who happen to still drink alcohol. And then how do I also spread my wings and fly and divide my time with other people who have that in common with me so that I don't feel so
isolated.
Yeah, exactly.
And well, and that's the thing too, is that like your choice not to drink does not signal to anyone else that they can't drink.
Well, I think friendships are gonna change too, and that's okay. And I fucking hate change, but there might be people who don't hit me up as often because I don't drink anymore. And I have to accept that and be like, that's okay. And, you know, they might not wanna go to, you know, a gym class with me or go on a hike with me, or usually people will be willing to go get breakfast with me. That's kind of a fan favorite.
I think that's a really good time to see people that do drink is in the morning when they're their freshest, before they have, you know, thought about drinking or like made their plans or like set an intention to have a drink for the day. You know, it's like a good commitment time. So, Kaylee, what can we leave our listeners with this week? Like, what tools and resources? How can we reconnect in like early sobriety or in the sober curious space if you're wanting to make friends who don't drink or aren't thinking about alcohol, if it's not something that they are centering their, you know, life around?
Yeah. Well, first of all, join our fucking Dry January group. There's so many awesome people in there. Like, be our friend, right?
Yes.
If you like this podcast, you know, hit us up on social media. We'd love to hype you up in your journey and, you know, share us with other friends and we can all be friends, which is just so my view. Like, I just want everyone to be friends and love each other and hold hands and braid hair. So hit me up if you're into that shit. And then another sober account that we really like, the Sober Girl Society, posted recently. So if you check out their grid, they did a call out for specifically connecting people who are sober to other people in their area. So all you have to do is like look at their comments, and each person commented what city they're from, and then you can reply to that and, you know, check those people out and follow them and make new friends that way. So that is a great resource for folks if you just don't know anyone in your area who doesn't drink.
I totally agree. I think that's great. There's a ton of accounts on Instagram that can create supportive spaces. So definitely DM us if you guys need any like direction or pointers. We've talked about Reframe app, obviously, but there is a forum on Reframe and it's a great way to meet people and keep some anonymity.
Anonymity. I don't know, dude. I don't know.
So it's a great way to keep some of your, you know, your needs and interactions anonymous. You can use a username. I use my full name because I'm like, follow me, be my friend in real life. But like, not everyone is looking for that. So if you're looking for connection and, you know, sober space, but you're not totally ready to like come out, if you will, that's a great resource. I will also say the Boozeless Book Club. So at Boozeless Book Club on Instagram is a sober fucking book club. I joined, but I was having a hard time keeping up. But for people who are like dedicated ass readers, it is an excellent resource. There's a GroupMe chat. So it's super cool, Kaylee, because they talk about the book as they go. They vote on what book to do there, and they vote on what time at the end of the month they'll get together to discuss the book from that month.
I have always wanted to do that, but
it's so cool.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be sober to join Boozeless Book Club, but you cannot be actively drinking while in the monthly meeting. So I also like that.
That's cool.
And then something too that might be out of some people's comfort zone, but maybe not. We're trying new things. We're sober curious. We're, you know, wanting all the new experiences. Google local near you, like gym boutiques or, you know, Orange Theories, CrossFit gyms, boot camps, yoga studios, and then look them up on MindBody app. And just take a look at their reviews and the types of people who are interacting with their content. Look them up on Instagram and Facebook. Try one out. You can usually always get a free class on MindBody app through that. And I have met so many valuable people who do drink when they're wanting to drink, but who spend a lot of sober time with me because fitness and health is something that is a priority for them. So I definitely recommend that as well if that's, you know, your style.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Katie. I feel like the most sober people in one room that I met was definitely at a CrossFit gym, just because, right? Like, what does Steve say? It's not good for the gains to drink alcohol. So people who are wanting to do body recomp or just be their healthiest, most fit selves, typically at least have some sort of moderation or plan with alcohol. And so it is a really good place to meet potentially a lot of sober people.
For sure. For sure. So Kaylee, what are the takeaways from our episode today?
Oh God, I had so many feelings that I didn't even know I had. Yeah. Thank you all for allowing me to be, you know, vulnerable with you and share some things I wasn't really planning on. But one of the key takeaways is that your friendships might change, and that's okay. And it's also okay in a friendship to ask for things that you need, whether that's acceptance for you to bail early if something doesn't feel good for you, whether that's potentially seeing each other for a Sunday brunch at 1 p.m. instead of going out that night or the night before. Also, you know, find your people. Even though we still absolutely love and adore our friends who still consume alcohol, it is really important for you to have a community. So seek those people out, use the resources that we mentioned, let us know if you need any help finding people specifically in your area, and we can do some recon for you and research and help you with that. So
I wanted to hop on here too, and for people who are listening who are like, wait, why do I need to be around people who also don't drink? Or if you do drink and you are listening, well, why? Like, why is that important? It's important because it's imperative that we show up in spaces where we are not the minority. It's imperative that we have a safe space, that other people are similar to us in that choice specifically. That goes for everything. That goes for representation in skin color, body types, right? Like, we need to have spaces where we show up and people are like us or look like us or are choosing the same things as us to feel safe. Not all the time. We can, you know, leave our comfort zone and, you know,
yeah,
test out of the other waters. But I think that if no one in the room drank alcohol and you were the only person, it would feel like that.
Yeah. And I think that really touches on just the importance of community. There's been a lot of research on that. And also when folks feel othered,
yeah,
it does do things for self-esteem and things like that. And so, you know, having your people, even if it's just meeting up once a month to discuss a book that you read, I feel like those things are really beneficial, especially in early sobriety, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, so Dry Hard Pod is getting a little bit of an Instagram facelift, up level. We're just trying to like create a space that's more streamlined where you can access all of the information that we like to share here. So on that note, check out our link tree. We have included a link to listen to our episodes on Apple Podcasts. We've included a link to listen on Spotify. I've included a link there to download Reframe app. And then my code for 15% off of your in-app purchases is also in that. And then lastly, Kaylee, we have linked arms with our first company that is supporting our sober curious journey, if you will.
Yes, we are getting more legit. Yeah. Katie, tell us about that partnership.
So High Street Tonics is a Eugene, Oregon-based woman-run company. It was born out of a desire. She loves making fun drinks and ones that make you feel good while you're drinking them. Her products really appeal to that, like, mocktail, sober and sober curious, health conscious lifestyle. So all of her tonics and bitters come along with an organic ingredients list, and how they benefit you when you use them together.
NA beverages are a huge part of my sober toolkit.
Yeah. So if you go to our link tree, you'll see it says High Street Tonics, use code DryHardPod for 10% off your order. If you actually click that link and you go, this is so cool, you're going to freak, Kaylee. And you go to shop, the first thing that comes up is the Sober Curious Survival Kit.
Oh, nice. And Katie, how do they use our code? Do they plug it in checkout or?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so in Reframe app and in High Street Tonics, there will be an option to put in your code at the end. And so it's going to be Dry Hard Pod for High Street Tonics, and it's going to be code Katie, K-A-T-Y, for Reframe app. Check it out.
Awesome. That's our episode.
And thank you, everyone, for fucking listening. I don't care, because this is fucking therapy for me tonight.
Yeah, I needed this. I let some demons out tonight. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, brother. Good night.